How's it going, Kevra? So I apologize for there not being a live Kibbutz this week, but it is what it is. And Zad Hashem, we'll do our best to go through probably the most central sugya about relating to the Yom Tov Purim, and that's the question as follows. What extent should we look at Purim as being a typical Yom Tov, with certain exceptions, certainly it's only one day, it's obviously only Midir Rabbanan or Midir Kabbalah, but when we talk about the qualitative Simchas Hayom, you know, the nature of the day, in terms of its status as a yontif, to what extent is Purim meant to be looked at as the same? It is essentially a yontif, just again with certain basic exceptions for each one of those things being specific to, you know, unique for certain reasons. There's certain differences, or no? Perhaps we're meant to understand that there is a qualitative difference for significant reasons as to why Purim is not meant to be looked at as a typical yontif. And by analyzing some of Hilchos Purim, we're going to, you know, really try to shed light on that very question. And when you think about Purim in contrast to other Yom Tovim, so immediately, what stands out as being the most, you know, the good first place to look at it in terms of, well, clearly it's not a typical Yom Tov. After all, Isser Malacha. That's the first place where you can highlight there is a difference between Purim and other Yom Tovim. Because I know on Purim there's no Isser Malacha. Now it's true the Shulchan Aruch does Paskin and based on the Rambam that a person who does Malacha on Purim in a row is Simon Bracha. It's not something which is going to be particularly successful, and it's certainly not recommended that one engage in doing malacha on Purim. But still, there's no technical Isra malacha on Purim like there is on Yantiv. But even that needs background. That's not so simple. When you go to the Gemara on Daf Hey, Gemara on Daf Hey Mabez, the Gemara actually has a whole sugya about this very question. The Gemara there comments as follows. Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Chanina noticed that once upon a time it was Purim and Rebbe, Nata Netiyah B'Purim. Oh my gosh. Rebbe was planting on Purim. How could it be? Ask the Gemara of a Rebbe, how could he plant on Purim? Atani Rav Yosef. And the Pasuk in Megillas Esther in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yates, describes the way that Purim was celebrated. Pasuk says it was described as, you know, the people in the cities, they observed Purim on the 14th as a day of Simcha Umishta V'Yom Tov Mishlach Manos Ishtar Re'eu. Says the Gemara, what does each phrase in that Pasuk teach me? So Simcha is Malamid, that there's an Ishtar Hesped. Mishta is Malamid, there's an Ishtar Tainis. Yom Tov, Malami, that there's an Isser, Asiyas, Malacha. Boom. Straight up, the Gemara tells us that we do have an Isser Malacha on Purim. What we thought was wrong. It's not true. Purim has an Isser Malacha because it's called a Yom Tov in the Megillah. So what do we thought? It's not a Yontif. Of course it's a Yontif. It's called a Yontif. There's an Isser Malacha. Move on. End of story. So Gemara's bothered. How could Rebbe be planting on Purim? And the Gemara goes through a long Shakla Vitaria trying to figure out answer one. Answer one in terms of the approach here. The approach of answer one is, you're right, Rebbe could not possibly have been planting on Purim. It must be that Rebbe was planting on the 15th, and Rebbe lived in a walled city. Or the Gemara then tries to, no, it can't be, because really he lived in a walled city. It was the opposite. He was planting on the 14th, then he lived in a walled city. Or it was the opposite, going back and forth, trying to figure out where Rebbe was and what day it was. But essentially, the Gemara goes for a long time working with the assumption that Purim really has an Isser Malacha. Until finally the Gemara concludes an alternative answer. Rabbi Brei the Rava Amar, Afilu Tema Biyome, you could even say that Rebbe was planting even on Purim. But, Hesbe Betainis Kabilu Alayu, when Purim was instituted as a Yontif Fedoros, they only accepted the Isser Tainis, they only accepted the Isser Hesped, but the Isser Malacha Lo Kabilu Alayu, they didn't accept upon themselves. The Ajik Nesu Zagadolo, when they officially ratified Purim as a Yontif, they left out the Isser Malacha. After all, take a look back in the Pesukim, in Pasuk Chav Beis, three Pesukim later, when the Pasuk describes Purim, how it was instituted the Dodos, the phrase Yom Tov, it's used in describing Chodesh Adar. Chodesh Adar was the month that was Nepach, Miyagon, the Simcha, Mi'eval, the Yom Tov, but the days of Purim, Lasos so some Yemei Mishta, V'Simcha, Mishloch Manos, Ish the Re'eu, Umatanos, Avyonim. No mention of Yom Tov. So that's where the Gemara describes, or seems to conclude, the fact that the phrase Yom Tov is dropped teaches us that there is no Isser Malacha. So the very fact that we think, well, Purim is not a typical Yom Tov because there's no Isser Malacha, not so fast. The Gemara assumes that there really was an Isser Malacha. If anything, we should walk away from concluding that, no, the Isser Malacha really should be there. But for some reason, unclear why, that didn't stick. The only question is, why not? What do we do with that conclusion? In other words, what was the Havamina? What was the Maskana? How important and central is Isser Malacha to the day of Yontif to say that maybe the lack of an Isser Malacha, it really does completely take away a central Yom Tov character to Purim, or maybe it's like a technical thing. Maybe there's like a technical reason why the Isra Malacha was removed. Because we know the Isra Malacha in general is fundamental to how we define a day of its being a Yom Tov. For example, when the Gemara, in talking about Hallel, describes why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara uses the phrase, because it's not Iskadesh be Isra Malacha. It doesn't have the same quality of Kedushas Hayom as other Yomim Tovim because it doesn't have an Isra Malacha. That's Gufa, part of the definition of a Yontif. So here, what are we saying? So the Orchos Chaim, Rosenberg always liked to quote this Orchos Chaim, I think the Orchos Chaim and others developed this idea later on as well, that it might have been for very practical reasons. You know, what else was missing in the first Pasuk, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Tes? There's also no mention of Matanos Lavyonim. That only gets a mentioning when you get to Pasuk Chabez. The phrase Yom Tov is dropped, Matanos Lavyonim is added. It could be that this whole idea of dropping the Isra Malacha was simply out of sensitivity to the Aniyim. We don't want to, on Purim especially, we know it's a day of Kol HaPoshet Yad, where there's such a degree of complete, you know, unyielding, just giving and giving and giving. We don't want there to be any limitations. And therefore, to limit people who might need the money from going about and, you know, doing, you know, schora, especially if it would limit our ability to give tzedakah. So for that reason, they didn't want Purim to be a typical yontif in this regard. But that's only for, that technical reason. That doesn't reflect the nature of Purim. It's just that, out of sensitivity, to ensure that nobody feels that they are limited in their ability to, celebrate Purim and maximize Simchas Purim. We didn't want to restrict Malacha for that reason. But it's not to say anything more than that. And that could very well be what it is. Of course, the alternative thing to say, alternatively, it is very central and it is very fundamental. So the Isra Malacha may or may not be, or the lack thereof, rather, the lack of an Isra Malacha may be or may not be very indicative of the nature of Purim's status as a Yontif. What is probably an even better place to look, then, in terms of what is or is not relevant to Purim, which is very definitional, very, very fundamental and central to a Yontif, is the level of Simcha that exists. And that's manifest in a typical Yontif in one very, very obvious way, which is how it relates to Avelis. We know that Yontif cancels Avelis. The Simcha's Yontif is such, as the Gemara says in Moreh Katan, the Simcha the Rabbim is Mevatel, is Doche, the Avelis the Yachid. One's personal Avelis is pushed aside by the Simcha of the Rabbim. So does that same halacha, is Shiva canceled because of Purim? So on the outset, one would have said, well, Purim is a day where there's Simcha, Mishtav Simcha. The Pasuk says, we have to have a Suda, we have to have joy in Simcha. So if that's true, then Lechora Avelis should be canceled just like a typical Yontif. Yet, when you open up the Rambam says, Enochas Avel, Chanukah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh are all the same. There is absolutely no limitations on Avelus, on Purim. No again behen kol divrei Avelus, says the Rambam. And that is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Despite there being a Chi of Simcha on Purim, Chi of Tuda, Chi of Simcha, no doubt, it's a day of tremendous joy. Nonetheless, Avelus is not affected by Purim, which is strange. And the exact opposite extreme, we find the Torah quotes from the Sheoltos. The Sheoltos writes Beferush that, Purim cancels Avelus. Why would Purim be any different than a Yontif? Now, and that's Purim, by the way, in contrast to Chanukah or Rosh Chodesh, where there's no Chiv Simcha. Purim has a Chiv Simcha. Why would that Chiv Simcha not cancel Avelus? And says the Sheoltos, it absolutely cancels Avelus. It's interesting because the bottom line of Lacha for Ashkenazim, the Ramah, kind of, has a middle ground Shita based on the Maharam in Rudenburg, where Purim is comparable to Shabbos. In this regard, you would say as follows. It's fundamentally, it doesn't cancel Avelus. It's not like a Yontif, but we don't have any Nihuge Avelus Bifur Hesya. Only in Avelus Betzina is practiced. So you don't sit Shiva all day. You're allowed to, the Ramah points out, you can go hear Megillah. In Shul, the only question is, is it preferable to have a minion in the base level instead? But otherwise, we don't actually do any public signs. There's no public signs of Avelus, but it certainly doesn't cancel Avelus, and it counts as one of the days of Avelus as well, just like Shabbos does. But so in that respect, it's fundamentally more similar, less similar to a Yontif. So for the Shulchan Aruch and even the Ramah, to a large extent, you see a tempering or a different character of the Simchas Purim, and that Avelus is not significantly, or for the Shulchan Aruch at all, affected by Purim. Avelus is in full effect even though it's Purim. And the question is why? That sounds so strange. A similar issue comes up with another question that's discussed and debated by Purim. That's a typical outgrowth of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. The Gemara Moed Katan just quotes different opinions as to what the precise source is, but we know you're not allowed to get married on Yontif or Chol HaMoed. Gemara quotes a pasuk v'samachta b'chagecha, and the Gemara is a drasha v'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha. Alternatively, the Gemara quotes the famous idea of ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. We don't mingle different types of simcha. So the simcha of a chasana, which is such a high level simcha, shouldn't get in the way. It shouldn't interfere with the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So that definitely applies to Yontif. It definitely applies to Chol HaMoed. Does that apply to Purim? Can one get married on Purim? I wouldn't recommend it. It's very hard to find the time to get married, but why not? At the end of the day, feed everybody. Mishloach Manos, taken care of right there. It's all good. So why not have a wedding on Yontif? Says the Shulchan Aruch, sorry, on Purim. So what would you think? Just based on the Shulchan Aruch, by Hilchos, by saying that Avelus is completely in effect on Purim, you see that Purim doesn't have the same status as a Yontif when it comes to Avelus. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't disappoint. Vishitaso, you are allowed to get married on Purim, says the Shulchan Aruch. There's no limitation on marriage on Purim because, again, it sounds like for the same reason by Avelus, it doesn't have the same quality of Simcha. It's not like Yontif. It doesn't have the same obligation of Simcha like Yontif does. Memela, there's no Isser or limitation of getting married on Purim. And the Ramah here doesn't disagree. The Ramah, silent, doesn't seem to argue. Again, because I would argue the reason why is because fundamentally, he's more along lines with the Shulchan Aruch, even though Avelos is limited somewhat on Purim. There's no Avelos with Varesia, but fundamentally, it doesn't have the same degree of Simcha as a Yontif. It doesn't cancel Avelos. So Mamela, there's no Isser to get married on Purim. However, the Magen Avraham thinks that there should be a prohibition to get married on Purim. He ultimately says it really depends on which Makor is primary. Is it based on B'samachta B'chagecha, which perhaps wouldn't necessarily extend to Purim, because again, technically speaking, the Pasuk obviously doesn't apply to Purim. B'samachta B'chagecha only applies to Yomtiv Midoraisa. Purim's not Midoraisa, it's obviously not relevant to Purim itself. But the idea of Ema Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, the Svara, certainly would apply to Purim. And he says, Magen Avraham says, based on what I've written elsewhere, he thinks that the primary source is ultimately Ema Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, and for that reason, it should be that there's an Isser to get married on Purim. So now, that's again another major nafkamina. Do we assume the issue of Nisuan applies to Purim? Machloka Shulchan Aruch Magen Avraham. Another very interesting issue. So again, there are so many other issues as well. We can go into so many details where you find potential, attempts to make Purim identical to a Yontif, or whether we actually try to highlight the differences. So just to name a few quickly without going into the details, there's a whole machlokas quoted in the Magen Avraham as to whether or not the Sudas Purim demands pas. You have to have bread by a Sudas Purim, and the discussion really centers around the question of, do you have to repeat benching if you forget Alei Nisan? And ultimately, the Magen Avraham quotes the Shlach HaKadosh as saying, sure, why not? I mean, L'chayra, you have to have a Suda. You have to eat, you have to have a Mishta B'Simcha, the Pasuk says. So therefore, you should have to repeat benching if you forgot Alei Nisan. However, ultimately, the Magen Avraham goes on to say, L'halach L'maisa on that is, by the way, is that that might be true for the very first meal of the day, but not the actual Sudas Purim later, because you technically were probably Yotze ready in the morning with whatever breakfast you ate. So therefore, it's not really as critical that you eat later, but the Magen Avraham himself thinks that really Mikra din, he's not so convinced that you really need bread in the first place. I mean, he sounds like, really, I don't know. He actually makes an interesting argument. He says, should benching be worse than davening? Davening, we assume from the Gemara, there's a chiyuv to mention Alei Nisan in davening, even though you don't repeat if you forget Alei Nisan in davening. It's clear from the Gemara that there's no chiyuv to add Alei Nisan to benching, it's just a minhag. And you're going to tell me that forgetting Alei Nisan is going to be more chomer in benching than it is in davening, whereas by davening it's a chiyuv, and benching it's a minhag, even though the logic makes sense, because again, if you're really convinced, like the Shla, that you need to have a bread meal on Purim, so then I don't care what the din is by davening, or you just have to repeat it. But the Magen Avraham clearly assumes that, who says you need pas? It's not so clear that you need pas in the first place. So Mamela, you're not going to have to repeat benching without Alei Nisan. And therefore, again, you see the question of how much are we looking to make Purim's Suda comparable to a Suda's Yontif. But again, the Rambam does mention having basar v'yayin at your Suda's Purim, but he doesn't make any mention of having pas either. So you see that from the Rambam as well. There's no need to necessarily have pas, which, again, may not be so surprising either. For the Rambam, there's no Avelos. The Avelos is completely in effect on Purim also. Because again, for the Rambam, there's a chiyuv to have basar v'yayin. That's the unique aspects of the Sudas Purim. But that's not to say that the day demands that we have a complete blown out simcha like we would on Yontif, to the extent that it cancels Avelos, to the extent that you can't get married, and etc., etc. So when pushing to shove, just the last thing to mention is the nature of Yontif and Purim in terms of how the suda is manifest. We already pointed out the question also by Basar, do you need to have meat? Do we assume that the same standard for Yontif, where the Rambam at least certainly accentuates, you know, the ideal of having Basar? The Rambam mentions the Gemara's Lashon of Ein Simcha El B'Basar V'Yayin, even though the Mi'ikar Adin of the Gemara, and the Rambam says this explicitly in Hilchos Yontif, that even though Mi'ikar Adin, the Gemara is talking about Basar Shlamim, but nonetheless, the Rambam makes it sound like still, B'Zman Hazeh, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Simchas Yontif against Shitas Tosfos and Moikatan Daf Yedal, who says that nowadays, because there's no Korban Shlamim, it's only Midir Rabbanan, but the Rambam assumes it's d'oraisa, it's just manifest, you know, B'Kol Meni Simcha. And based on the Rambam, it certainly sounds like there's a preference to have Basar. And the Rambam doesn't use the same Lashon by Purim, but he does mention Basar. So granted, there's a certain equation in trying to have Basar, perhaps, because it's meant to equal the type of a Suda, but it's certainly hard to say that it's for the same reasons. Meaning, the Rambam goes on, by Yontif, you know, we also have an obligation to ensure that everybody is, you know, there's a chiyuv to be mesameach your whole family. Benashim aroy lehem, with nice clothing, and with children, aroy lehem, with candies and whatnot. So when it comes to Purim, we don't find that idea, at least certainly not in the same sense. There's Mishloach Manos, there's Matanos Avionim, but it's not formulated with the same degree as it is on Yontif. But here's where Rav Rosenzweig made this point. It's a point Rav Rosenzweig makes, I've heard him make this point many times, and it's fascinating, where Rav Rosenzweig made the following observation. You know, it was interesting because when you realize what the Rambam does say about how Suda's Yontif can't be a personal simcha without it being, without it, you know, involving giving to the poor. The Rambam writes famously that for someone to just fill their belly without being concerned for the simcha of the ani, the ger, the yosim, the amana, so that's called simchas kreso. And that's very bad. That's very personal. So, you know, that's a physical, you know, pleasure where you're missing something fundamental to yantif. Meaning it's built in, says the Rambam, to simchas yantif, that your simchas yantif has to be shared with those in need. So it's interesting. So Rosenzweig said the following. You know, originally, when the Pasuk calls Purim a Yom Tov, it also doesn't have Matanos Avyonim. Because perhaps, once you're looking at Purim as a typical Yontif, you don't need to tell me that there's an obligation of Matanos Avyonim. That's baked into the cake. That's part and parcel of every Yontif. Every Yontif, Simchas Yontif, is manifest in what way? It has to involve being Misameach, the Aniyim, and the, you know, the Ger, the Yosom, and the Almana. So you don't need to say Matanos Avyonim. It's only when the Pasuk drops the phrase Yontif, we took away a certain aspect of Purim's status as a Yontif, so mamele you now need for the Pasuk to bring up, oh, but don't lose Matanos Avyonim. Don't forget that there's a Chiyuv, despite the fact that Purim's not meant to be understood as a typical Yontif. You still have to therefore what? Establish a clear obligation to share the Simchas Purim, whatever level that is, with the Aniyim, by making sure you do Matanos Avyonim. So that's a very, very good art. It's a fascinating point that you know, Rosenzweig makes. It absolutely is. But I still think it's interesting because when you actually think about the Rambam's formulation in Hilchos Purim, the way he looks at Matanos Avyonim, as opposed to the way he looks at being Masameach, the Aniyim, as part of sharing your Simcha, of your Simchas Yontif, there's something which the Rambam adds in Hilchos Purim that really does speak perhaps of a different character as it does by Yontif, where the Rambam writes, the main, you know, objective, perhaps, ironically, of Simchas, of Matanos Avyonim, is as follows. The Rambam writes as follows. Is it merely just a the Pasuk says you have to share the Simcha with everybody else? By Matanos Avyonim, the Rambam says something amazing. It's not just like an inappropriate expression of your own Simchas Yontif if you don't also share with the needy. The Rambam says something very different. In fact, the Rambam says, famously, that in other than Mishloach Manos, a person should spend more money on Matanos Avyonim than anything else on Purim. That needs to be taken to heart. Forget the themed Mishloach Manos and all the fun, cool things that you spend money on. Give much more money to Matanos Avyonim instead. But says the Rambam, following such powerful idea, Mutav the Adam the Harbos bis Matanos Avyonim and Harbos bis Sudas Mishloach Manos, She'ein Sham Simcha Gedolim Ufa'ora. Why do you need to expend? Do you need to spend more money and focus your, you know, to emphasize Matanos Avyonim? Because there's no greater simcha and more, you know, glorious simcha than Elul Samech Lebanim V'Yisomim V'Amonos V'Gerim. That is the greatest simcha that a person has. It's not the simcha that you have when you, you know, celebrate yourself. It's the simcha that you get when you give to others, especially those in need. But rather, says the Rambam, you give to those in need, it's the greatest degree of simcha, and by doing so, you are doma l'shchina. You don't find such flowery, lofty lashon by Hilchos Yontif. In Hilchos Yontif, he does say, very, very powerfully, that, you know, you have to make sure to be ma'achil, to share with others. And if you're noel delos chatzero, and you eat and you drink, just you and your family, but don't help those in need, that's not called simchas mitzvah, that's called simchas kreso.
But he doesn't say that it's a kiyum of simcha. He doesn't say that it's the greatest degree of simcha. It's an even greater simcha on Purim, emphasizing a unique aspect of simcha that's dafka expressed through the simcha of sharing with those in need. And there's a reason why that's perhaps such an important theme of Purim. But it's not, again, it's not in order to do tzedakah. It's ironically to maximize the simcha. It's to get to a level of simcha that's domeh l'shechina. And here's where I'd like to suggest it all goes back to ultimately go back to explain perhaps the theme of Purim and why Purim is actually meant not to reflect, not to be on par with a typical yontif. And the object Nesas HaGadolah specifically and intentionally limited or focused our simchas Purim in a more, we'll say, direct manner. And instead of it being a yom simcha, it's really a day of mishteh v'simcha. You know, the order is also changed in the pasuk. The pasuk originally says Purim is a day of simcha u'mishteh. But when it drops Yom Tov, what happens? This Rhodes like made this point as well, and others also make this point. It's the later pasuk, the latter pasuk, it says mishteh v'simcha. Perhaps the emphasis being the mishteh that generates the simcha. But why is that the case? Why should this be? Why should Purim simcha be less fundamental to the yom and more limited, even if qualitatively the simcha hasuda is like blown out? You know, it's an all-out suda. You're supposed to drink so much that you chayvin shlebesume. But it's not a yom of simcha. It's a suda that generates a tremendous simcha, almost like a high. But it's not a day of simcha. Let's explain why that might be. And again, why the emphasis of the simcha that comes by being doma l'shechina of giving matanas of yonim. So, one of the most famous issues that comes up by Purim is relevant to this whole sugya is the lack of halel. And of course, the Gemara quotes Rav Nachman as saying, kriyasas uhelula, which can be understood in many different ways, but at least on some level it says that don't think that halal is absent from Purim, just the halal is expressed differently. And of course, the fact that it's expressed differently says a lot, but it's not to say that Purim doesn't